Okay, welcome to, what are we, session four, class three, Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvot of Sukkot number two. So the first thing that I wanted to point out, based on your comment, Ellie, is that it mentions in Rav Hirsch that we have in this month the most holidays and the most mitzvahs of every month, and Tishrei is the most mitzvah-filled month. One day for, really it's only one day for Rosh Hashanah. Right. Even though we celebrate two,
but it's really a one-day holiday.
Right. So, but we just celebrate two. Even in Israel, it's the only one that's celebrated as two. So it's one day for judgment, one day for atonement, but seven whole days for simcha.
There we go.
And so he discusses how that really shows the way that the natural state of the Jew should be in simcha, gathering in the physical blessings of God and rejoicing in them. That's we have a little bit of judgment and a little bit of atonement in our lives, but one full complete cycle of simcha in this month, a whole week, and that's really what we should be focusing on. So I thought that was a nice thought from Rav Hirsch. It's in Rav Hirsch.
Very nice. Why is it celebrated? So because we were talking about it being 2 days. That if it's really only one day, then why is it celebrated?
Excellent question. which we'll maybe look at today. So we can start with that. So why is that? So it really has to do with timing and how information was spread. That's the first answer. Mm-hmm. So the first answer is the way that the months were. We, human beings, let's go back to physics a little bit. You know, so my son gets all these geeky T-shirts, and so I think he says something about that. What's the guy's cat's name that the physics experiment, if he's dead or alive, and once you put him in the box and he's going to die, he's both dead and alive at the same time. I forgot the name of that cat, but it's not a famous cat. No. It's a famous cat in a famous physics experiment that has to do with, right? It has to do with observation. So we know that in physics, observation makes a difference. So we know that Jewishly also, human observation makes a difference. It changes the halacha and changes the reality of things. So, so for instance, I'll just give up for instance in Hilchot Nida. If a woman sees a spot, she becomes a Nida. But she's not in Nida. She's not usher to, she's not forbidden to her husband if she didn't see it. That it's not that she is and she doesn't know it. She isn't because she didn't observe it. She didn't see it. So, and there are certain times you're supposed to look and certain times you're not supposed to look. Because if you looked at a time you're not supposed to look and you see, you are in Nida. So it's not necessarily about the physical reality, it's about the observance of the reality. So that being in mind is a principle, both in physics, and I don't know enough physics people say it, I just am related to geeks who they say these things to me, but I can't repeat them, but anybody who knows knows. So that reality that our human engagement with the physical reality makes a difference is part of what's going on here. So we count time. The holidays come because we count them. So we have to be there to count them. So we are the ones who sanctify the new moon. When two witnesses see the new moon, they bring testimony before the court and say, we saw the new moon, and it's from that point that the month is calculated, and then that is sent out through bonfires throughout the land, right? Now information spreads differently. But at that time when it was sent through bonfires, those people who were at the end of the bonfires outside the land of Israel, because the bonfires went hilltop to hilltop, outside the land of Israel, they kept 2 days just to be on the safe side because they might not have gotten information early enough. Wow. So it was diaspora's 2 days, land of Israel's 1 day for these holidays. Okay. Now that information travels better, and now that we have a set calendar, why do we continue with 2 days? We do continue with 2 days. So it's not about history. That's what's important to realize. That it's not that the only reason is that the information didn't get there yet. There must be another reason, which is why we still do it today. So another reason is the sanctity. So, and I was thinking about this today, reflecting as I was driving down. So that each one of our holidays is a sanctity absorption station because we need to absorb sanctity in our lives. We are creatures of holiness. Our destiny is holiness, and yet we live in a profane world. Profane not meaning ugly necessarily, but just not holy. But a fifth of our time on the Jewish calendar between Shabbos and Yom Tov is holy time. So a seventh of our time is Shabbos. And you add in the holidays, and you have one-fifth of our time is dedicated to sanctity. So we need that to be able to survive in this world. We have to be able to plug in and recharge on a regular basis in order to live the way that we need to live as holy Jews, as holy people. So it turns out that we don't absorb as well outside of the land of Israel as we do inside the land of Israel. Inside the land of Israel is a mechanism of absorption that's stronger. And so we only need one day there. And to absorb the same amount of Kedusha, we need 2 days here. That being said, why in Israel do Chutz La'aretz Jews, Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz, why are we still required to keep 2 days, right? To keep 2 days. So because that is the halacha.
Meaning that if you moved to Israel, you would still be required to keep 2 days.
No, not if I move to Israel.
If I visit Israel.
How about Rhoda, who owns the house there?
Okay, so now let's answer that question. Okay, or one, let's... You live in Israel, you do one, except for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you do 2 days. Rosh Hashanah is still 2 days for everybody. But we have 2 days at the beginning of Sukkot and 2 days at the end of Sukkot. And 2 days at the beginning of Pesach, 2 Seders. In Israel, there's only 1 Seder. So why? Why, if you live in Chutz La'aretz, outside of the land of Israel, and you visit Israel, do you still have to keep 2 days? Because you're in Israel. Shouldn't you be able to, you know the time, that's taken care of, and you're in the land of Israel with the faster absorption process, that's taken care of. Why do you still have to keep 2 days? Because that is the halacha. If your main residence is in, and now we have people with dual residences, so the question is, where do you mostly live? If you mostly live in Chutz La'aretz, you have to keep 2 days. If you mostly live in Israel, you keep 1 day. Even if you're Israeli and you fly to New York for Pesach, you only do 1 Seder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's that about?
It's inside.
So, right. It is inside. So I think it's also attitudinal. Yes, the land of Israel helps you absorb. But it also depends on the attitude to which you're accustomed. We all know there's a very different attitude in Israel than there is here. You know, the joke about the, let's see, who are they? The Israeli, the Texan, the Russian, and the New Yorker are standing on a street corner, and somebody comes over and says, "Excuse me, but I was wondering about your opinion on the meat shortage." And so the Texan says, "What's the shortage?" And the Russian says, "What's meat?" And then, I know, wait, I have to go, so, whatever, I'm messing it up. Right, the Russian says, "What's an opinion?" Right, but anyway, the Israeli says, "What's excuse me?"
Well, if you think about the analogy, if you live at altitude, you have more ability to absorb oxygen.
Yes, good.
You have more
excellent
vessels that have grown, and so you can absorb oxygen. But you have to live here. You can't just come visit.
Exactly.
You have to really live here to do it. So it would
beautiful
be,
analogy.
It
excellent.
Would be similar to that. That
right.
When you lose it, you lose it, and it's harder to keep getting it back. It's worse if you had it and lost
she's
it.
She's a nurse.
Okay. Well, that I don't know. But I do know that when you live at altitude, like we do here, you know, it's basically, and if you're higher, it's even more.
Interesting. So that absolutely may, because we definitely learn from the physical, we learn spiritual parallels. We learn spiritual truths from the physical. So that's excellent. Thank you very much. But I also think it's attitudinal, that there is a different attitude in Israel than there is here. Mm-hmm. And then there is in every culture where Jews live, there's different attitudes. So there's there's a can-do spirit in Israel, there's a we'll-plow-through-it spirit in Israel, there's a we-belong-here spirit in Israel, there's a we-are-a-family spirit in Israel that's very different than the Chutz La'aretz communities. Mm-hmm. And so I think that attitude makes a difference in terms of the Kedusha absorption also. So I think that's part of it. I mean, the halacha is the halacha, and we keep it no matter whether we understand it or not. But I think that's part of it, is that we need the extra kedusha, we need to absorb it, and living in the land or being based in the land makes a difference. So, and for people who own an apartment there who don't live there, you have to ask a shayla, because if you're planning on spending all 3 yontifs there,
try to find someone who wants to do a second night of Pesach.
It's really hard.
Impossible.
Seminaries, you get the seminary girls, they'll come.
Couldn't find anybody.
So what do you do then? Just have your
Bob
own.
And I did it alone the second night.
Oh, but there's plenty of Americans looking for a second Seder.
No, we couldn't find anybody.
Oh, the seminary girls are all looking for second Seders. So first year SEM girls. The second year SEM girls often get a heter to.
But the Israeli society is pervasive.
Oh, yeah.
And it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's fun there. I haven't been there for a long time.
Have you been there, also, Cody?
Yeah, not for a long time, but it's long.
Next year.
Yeah. It really is amazing.
Then why is it 2 days for Rosh Hashanah?
Okay, so why is it 2 days for Rosh Hashanah? And I'm not 100% sure. It was decreed. I mean, it came from being in Chutz Laretz. But when we went back, I can't remember exactly why we still keep two. But it is two, and even Israelis keep two. I'm trying to remember why that is. It's considered as one long day. I know it's referred to as that, Yom Arichta or something like that. Why is it two full days? Do you remember why everybody keeps two full days? It is a different reason.
Well, I heard some statistic that the number of Israelis who fast is like some huge number, despite the fact that there's so many secular people there, like 75 or 80%. I mean, a very large number, even if they don't go to shul, even if they do nothing else.
Right.
And more than that, Jews attend the Pesach Seder.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the other one that's
right.
Very...
In Israel, yeah. For everybody.
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 It's all over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I was told there was not a car on the street on Yom Kippur in Jerusalem, except an Arab or a police
car. Yeah, no. People, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. People largely keep it.
So I remember the war, too.
The Yom Kippur War?
Yes, maybe that made a deep impression.
Nah. I don't think that's it. I mean, I'm sure it does, but I don't think that makes people keep it more. I don't think.
I was thinking of secular type people honoring, you know, what happened.
Yeah, it's not about the war, it's about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is much more important than the Yom Kippur War. I think secular people still get... Secular people, so what are secular people in Israel? It's different than here. Secular people are not observant people. There are some staunchly secular people, but I think even that's just like very Jewish. Yeah,
very
but even that has been lost. Staunchly secular in Israel has largely been lost, just like staunchly Zionist has largely been lost. So except for strongly religious, strongly other things have mushed over and blended and assimilated in Israel. We don't have strong divisions anymore. We have leftover shadows of divisions, which people are starting to realize, what is that about? Look. So,
is that good or is that bad?
I think it's good for Israel. Yeah, because in Israel now you can do some kiruv. Now you can offer people Torah and they'll look at it.
As opposed to
in the past where they did not. In the past people were anti-religious, anti-Jewish, anti-observance, and now there's not very many antis anymore. So there's just like whatever.
They don't know about it.
Yeah, they don't know about it. So now they have secular services even in Tel Aviv.
Really?
Yeah. So what does that mean, secular services?
Secular
right?
Service.
They use a sitter?
There's like outreach services that are starting, but they're not super religious. I mean, they're not like all according to halacha, but they are a God-based Jewish service on the day that,
well,
you know,
something.
It's a shmuzidic kind of a service. Yeah, they have that.
That's something. It's certainly more than...
So that's what I was saying. It's not Reform. Masorti is a fake. I'm sorry to say. It's a total fake. Masorti means traditional.
Oh.
Traditional is... It mostly referred to the Sephardic Jews who had their Judaism stolen from them forcefully when they came to the state of Israel. So they had little bits left over that they maintained. They made kiddush. They mostly kept kosher. Maybe they had one set of glass plates or even one set of not glass plates, but they didn't put meat and dairy together. They didn't cook together. Maybe they had one set of pots, but they wouldn't cook it together. Shabbos was Shabbos, but you'd still go to the beach. But it was Shabbos going to the beach. You know, so they were traditional. That was called Masorti. They were not religious, and they were not anti-religious. They were not anti at all. They were traditional, much like, similar to, and they were even more religious, actually, than the Jewish religious but not observant person in this country, because they had their Judaism stolen from them. So those people were Masorti, and people who identified that way, people who made Kiddush and then watched TV, were called Masorti. The conservative movement wanted to make inroads into Israel. Conservative was not. It's an American movement.
No, absolutely.
With American attitudes and American intellectualism, it's a 100% American. But with the struggle between acceptance of Orthodox and conservative conversions, which 40 years ago were largely accepted, because 40 years ago conservative was a mostly halachic movement. Today it's not. But at that time, a conservative conversion was possibly acceptable, possibly. They still, when I converted 30 years ago and I had a conservative conversion, I went to Israel, they said I should just go to the mikvah again to make sure. Not, you're not Jewish at all, 100% Gentile, you have to go through the whole conversion process. It was, oh, conservative conversion, let's just
double dip.
Let's just double dip to make sure, right? That's not the way it is today. Today, a conservative convert is considered a Gentile, 100%.
Isn't there pressure on them now to even accept reform conversions?
Well, so that's a different political concern. So what I'm saying is there was a name, Mesorti, in Israel that referred to a specific group. Conservative wanted to make inroads in Israel. It is not an Israeli attitude. There's Torah and there's not Torah. You keep Torah or you don't, but you don't change Torah, which is what conservative is, changing Torah. So what they did was they...
You're saying the Mesorti know what Torah is, they just choose not to keep it as opposed to being told.
Right, or
totally,
100%. There's Torah.
Now they're making a conscious decision to.
It's not a making a conscious decision to not keep it. It's that I just don't do all that stuff.
That's how they do.
But I'm not saying that stuff doesn't apply to me or doesn't apply to the Jewish people. I just drive. That's all. I'm not saying it's okay to drive.
I just do it.
Right. That's all. Right. That's totally different. That is totally different than conservative that says it's okay to drive if you're going to the synagogue or whatever, making their rules about it and voting on it and saying that it's legal, right? Totally different. So conservative wanted to make inroads in Israel. So what they did was they transferred to Israel and then they called themselves Mesorti. So they instantly had a huge congregation, a huge affiliation by calling themselves Mesorti. But Mesorti does not mean conservative, but today it means both, because they took on that name. But they took on that name in a brilliant stroke of Orwellian doublespeak to be able to adopt that entire population and call it theirs.
There was already a large group.
Right, because there was already a large group that called themselves Mesorti. There was no movement Mesorti. There was no shul Mesorti. Mesorti people went to Orthodox shuls, which were the only shuls in Israel. There weren't Orthodox shuls, they were just shuls, right? Mesorti people either went or didn't go to a shul, right? But then when conservative wanted to make itself legitimate by headquartering in Israel, so they called themselves Mesorti and instantly got that entire group. Now, that entire group doesn't necessarily affiliate conservative, however, they have, now that name really means both.
Well, do they?
And now the American conservative movement is considering changing their name to Mesorti.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are there conservative or Mesorti shuls in Israel?
Mm-hmm. Now there are. Yes, now there are.
All over. That have changed halacha.
Well, no. I mean, they just...
That are conservative in halacha. So, but now Mesorti doesn't even... With this last ruling that they recently made on ordaining openly gay clergy... That was their clear break from calling themselves a halachic movement. Because there's pretty much no way you could say we are halachic and we ordain openly gay clergy. Mm-hmm. You can't do both, right? So there was a breakaway with that vote. And so there is a breakaway, more small c conservative, large c conservative group, a conservative lobby. But the main group voted for that. So they're not seen, they don't see themselves in worldwide. They don't see themselves as halachic anymore. That's what I'm saying. So they won't even say we're halachic. Whereas 30 years ago, 40 and 50 years ago, they pretty much kept Shabbos, pretty much kept kosher. And maybe they eat any cheese, but they wouldn't eat it with meat, and they would only eat kosher slaughtered meat, and they would have two sets of dishes, and you know, maybe they carried on Shabbos, but they didn't drive unless they were driving to shul and back. You know, and a lot of people didn't drive at all. You know, the Dalins don't drive on Shabbos. So they keep Shabbos according to conservative, according to old conservative philosophy. They're Shomer Shabbos. So that's what conservative, so there used to be a joke, the conservative is Orthodox clergy and Reform congregation. makes a conservative shul. And that's kind of how it was. The conservative rabbi was the Orthodox guy in the group. He was the paid Jew to, you know, keep the mitzvahs, and then everybody else could do what they wanted. So, but there were people who were strongly conservative who kept halacha according to a conservative understanding of halacha. But that's few and far between today. I think it still probably exists in the academy, but it doesn't exist on the street or in communities. I don't think there's, are you aware of conservative communities?
Actually. I do think it is. I think observance in conservative shuls is growing. You see more people walking, you see.
Yeah?
So it's coming back.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, a lot more people are keeping kosher.
Reform observance is for sure coming back.
Yeah. I mean, a lot more people.
I know Rabbi Rhines. Oh my gosh, he totally keeps kosher. He just, you know, Rabbi Rhines from Temple Sinai.
Yeah, Reform definitely is making huge changes. Because Reform over the last 150 years. Reform definitely sees over the last 150 years that their policies of distancing themselves from ritual didn't work. And people are falling away, and you need a ritual to keep people there. So not just to keep people there, but for the other things. So that's a good segue into what we're doing today.
Yes.
So let's look at our list here. Let's see, I just want to look at the right one. I took notes on it before I changed it. Okay, the precept of resting from work on the eighth day of Sukkot. The precept of Musaf, offering on the eighth day of Sukkot, the prohibition against doing work on the eighth day of Sukkot, and let me ask you right now, what is the problem with this sheet of paper?
The eighth day.
Well, we have a few little spellings here.
Okay. All right, so not that. Okay, forget. Forget that. I'm talking about what Ellie's talking about, yeah.
The eighth day.
What eighth day?
Yeah. There's
right?
7 days.
There's 7 days of Sukkot.
Is this a typo?
No.
There's 7 days of Sukkot, so why does it say the precept of resting from work on the eighth day of Sukkot?
We don't rest.
Or the Musaf offering. Or
of the eighth day of Sukkot. Because this is a book of biblical commandments, and we know that biblically Sukkot is 7 days. What is it talking about the eighth day?
Is it talking about...
Yeah, but why doesn't it say Shmini Atzeret? Why doesn't it say that? It says, instead of Shmini Atzeret,
the eighth day,
right?
Is the eighth day of Sukkot.
Yeah, it does. Wait, I have it here.
Well, do you still, on Shmini Atzeret, do you still eat Sukkot?
Oh, good question. Good question. So I'm going to read you the pasuk here. 7 days shall ye bring near an offering made by fire unto God. On the eighth day there shall be a convocation to the sanctuary for you, and ye shall bring near an offering made by fire unto God. It is a preserving, summing up, no service work may ye do. So I'm just going to read it in Hebrew because... It sounds weird in English too. Shivat yamim takrivu isha lashem, bayom hashmini mikre kodesh yelachem, vhi kravtem isha lashem, it's atzeret hi kol malachat avodah lo ta'asu. Okay, so.
You can't work on the eighth day.
You can't work on the eighth day. So the question is, what is
the
that eighth
day?
Day? It is the summing up day, yeah.
It's like the culmination.
So it says atzeret hi. So we call it Shmini Atzeret, but this nowhere does it say Shmini Atzeret.
Did we just make that up?
So we didn't just make it up. It says right here, Atzeret hi, kol malachat avodah lo ta'asu. So we have a clear biblical commandment not to do work on that day. So, and it is called a holy Mikre Kodesh, right? So it's both Mikre Kodesh yelachem and bring an offering, v'hi kravtem isha l'ashem, Atzeret. Isha Lashem. Isha is a woman, so you don't want a woman. You want to bring an offering. No, I mean a woman is an Isha. An Isha is a sheep. Right. So you want to bring that, not a woman. Right.
Gotcha.
You want to get the right vowels.
Yeah, that would be good.
Pardon? I'm reading from the Chumash right here.
What's the reference on it?
So that's Vayikra Kaf Gimel. So it's the 23rd chapter of Vayikra, which is Leviticus, and Pasuk 36. So, right, so that's what this, what we're based on. Here's the reproach on it. It's all these, like,
so it's
a lot.
23, 36.
The eighth day, but the question is it really a Sukkot or is it really something different?
Right, right. So that's what it says. It's the eighth day.
It's the eighth day of Sukkot.
Well, so the Chumash says it's the eighth day.
Even though the commandment.
But it doesn't say of Sukkot.
That's what I was just going to say. It doesn't say of Sukkot.
It's the eighth day. So meaning it's the day after Sukkot. It's its own separate holiday. And there's lots of discussion and proofs, and it discusses in the Talmud that it's its own separate holiday. It's not connected to Sukkot. And if you want a Talmudic reference, which I was thinking of looking up, but there was too much traffic, so I didn't get here in time to look it up. It's Sukkah 48a. Talmud Sukkah 48a.
So it really isn't the eighth day of Sukkot.
No, it is not the eighth day of Sukkot.
So this
it's
is
its
really
own
wrong.
Holiday. And so in that, it talks about, there's a mnemonic, Pezer Keshev. Pezer Keshev means, it's to try to help you remember that it has, so it's all these are Bifnei Atzmo, according unto itself. Pious Bifnei Atzmo, Zman Bifnei Atzmo, Rega Bifnei Atzmo. That's Pezer, Pious, Zman, Rega. And Keshev, Korban Bifnei Atzmo, Shir Bifnei Atzmo, Bracha Bifnei Atzmo. It has its own offering, its own song, its own bracha, its own time, it's its own holiday, it's its own thing. Right?
Own thing.
Its own thing. So that's what that Gemara discusses. So, we do eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret without making a bracha. Because it's not Sukkot. So there's no... Right. Without the bracha of Leshev B'Sukkah, because it's not a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah, and yet we do. That's the common custom, to eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Not on Simchas Torah, but on Shmini Atzeret, we eat in the Sukkah. So, and that's part of it being the eighth. So, but and Simchas Torah would be the ninth.
Right.
So we don't, but we do without making a bracha.
And that's Thursday of this week.
Right.
That is Thursday of this week. That's correct. Wednesday night and Thursday day. The only way that it is connected to Sukkot is for makeup offerings. If you weren't able, if you missed one of the Korban Chagigas, one of the festive offerings, you can make it up on that day still for Sukkot, whereas the following day, makeups are over. So, but it is a day for makeup offerings. So in that sense, there is a connection still to the holiday, but not enough of a connection that it's called Sukkot. And when we say when we say Kiddush, and we say Yalla V'Yavo, we have to fill in the blank which part, which holiday we're saying. We say Chag Shmini Ha'atzeret Hazeh. We don't say Chag HaSukkot, right? It's its own holiday.
A question.
Yes.
In the Bencher, it says on Yom Tov.
It's a Yom Tov.
What about Chol HaMoed? Is that a Yom Tov?
No.
That's a Chol HaMoed.
It's not. It's Chol HaMoed.
So you wouldn't say Yale.
You do Bencher, say Yale V'Yavo.
Why does it say? Why does it say on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed?
I don't know. Well, that's just the Siddur and what in the English
one,
instruction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where you don't say, you say Yalla V'Yavo the whole time, yes. And you say Hallel the whole time, and you bring a Korban Musaf the whole time. What you don't do when you're benching on Chol HaMoed is say, Harachaman Hu Yanchilenu Yom Shakulo Tov.
You don't say the Yom Tov part there.
Correct.
But you say the Sukkot part there.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right. You do say, Hu Yakim Lanu Et Sukkas David Hanafelet. You do say that, Harachaman.
They use the same wording for all of it.
Right. Right, and when you're saying Al Hamichya, you say V'samcheinu b'yom Chag HaSukkot Hazeh, even during Chol HaMoed, even though it's not Chag, although it is Chag. So that being said, right, it's 7 days of Sukkot. So even Chol HaMoed, which is right now, right. So which we're going to see in just a minute. So let's look. Let's go. Let's see. So I took my other sheet out. Go back to the one that you guys are following too. Okay, the precept of resting from work, which really should be from work, on the eighth day of Sukkot. Should be an H after that, eight. Sorry about that. Okay, so that's 321. So I spoke to Rabbi Yoel Unger today about the positive and negative and why they're the same. So I guess what was confusing me, because he asked me, why do you have a question about Yontif and not about Shabbos? I said, well, because Shabbos, I sort of understand. It says Zachor v'Shamor, right? We're supposed to guard Shabbos and remember Shabbos, both. And so Zachor is the positive and Shamor is the negative commandments. So why do we, so that makes sense that it would say rest on Shabbos, don't do work on Shabbos. So the same stuff is covered by positive and negative, but it's not. Because I guess where I got confused was that in the Chinuch, he gives the same reason. But it's not the same stuff. It is what we said, that the negative is creating the space, the positive is filling the space. And so I just wanted to mention, I've been, so he said, you know, a lot of people today think that the positive is enough. You know, and it's what's hard for a modern mind to figure out is the discipline of the negative, is not doing everything, even things that are pleasant, even things that you want, that chasing away the weak, chasing away the rest of the world by having that discipline is an important discipline. You do need to do that.
Right.
And it's not enough just to say, I won't do things I don't feel like doing. You know, there is a discipline to even doing things you do feel like doing if it's, but there has to be that definition of what the malacha is that you can't do.
My sister always says, wouldn't Shabbat be a great day to garden?
Right. Right.
For instance.
Right. So I've experienced actually all three versions of Shabbos, well, really four. So number one is none, right? You don't keep it and you don't guard it, right? Number two is you keep it and don't guard it. Number three is you guard it and you don't keep it. And number four is you keep and guard, right? So most of us in this room have experienced the nothing of Shabbos. And then there's the doing something. So that seems to be the conservative reform traditional way in this world. Make Kiddush, have a meal, watch TV afterwards, go to the mall the next day, whatever. But you're doing something. It is Shabbos. Doing something to recognize Shabbos, but you're not making the whole day Shabbos. You're not chasing away the rest of the world. But you're doing something positive on Shabbos.
You're saying that's keeping it but not guarding it.
That's keeping it but not guarding it,
okay.
Depending on how much you're keeping.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's doing some positives but not doing the negatives.
Okay.
Not refraining from the negatives.
How is guarding negative?
Zachor, the remembering Shabbos is the positive, and Shamor is the negatives,
guard.
To guard it. So you'll hear it. You'll hear. So right. So guard. So if you think of the negatives are don't do all this stuff, right? So by refraining from doing all that stuff, you create space in your life, right? You can't drive. You can't garden. You can't do laundry. You're not doing dishes. You're not squeezing. You're not using hot water. You're not showering. You're not. So what are you doing? You're not doing anything, really, right? So now you've created all this space. So I've also lived in that world, which is, interestingly, is sometimes the world of the modern Orthodox. Not all modern Orthodox, but some modern Orthodox, or some modern Orthodox small m, where they know you're not breaking Shabbos, and you're having a meal. But at the meal, you're talking about everything, movies, politics, whatever it is, right? The meal's not special. It's a bunch of friends getting together because what else are they going to do? You know, but they're not necessarily getting together to sanctify Shabbos. They're getting together because that's when you have time to socialize. Right? Do you hear the difference?
So it's keeping it.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So, and I remember living in that world, and as I was transitioning more into the Haredi world, which has its own problems, I'm not giving a full, you know, hechsher to any place in Judaism. We have a lot to, we're waiting for Mashiach to clean it all up for us. But
we can't just wait.
But we live as we do, and I would say that as we do, the Haredi world has the most parts of truth, in my opinion, right now today, even though we have problems too. But I remember in that transition period in my life anyway, looking at the modern world and thinking, or the modern world I was living in anyway, thinking, we've done a lot to create this space, but we're not filling it. We don't really understand how to make it Shabbistic. We understand what not to do, but not what to do. Or I didn't anyway understand what to do. Like to be really careful in the doing to make Shabbos Shabbos. So, and when I was first married, I mean, we certainly were Shomer Shabbos, but there were a few times we'd come home. My husband was working full time, I was in school full time and expecting. And, you know, sometimes we'd come home Friday exhausted. And I would light candles, and we'd go to sleep and get up at midnight and make Kiddush and have our meal because we were just too tired right then to do that, right? But that wasn't really making Shabbos. That was, you know, we just were too tired to function then, but we weren't planning for the sanctity of Shabbos. We did plan to not transgress, right? So we lit candles on time, took a shower and went to sleep, right? And then whenever we would wake up, you know, from a nap, midnight or one, get up and have our Suda. So, because we wanted to have the Suda, because that was an obligation, but it wasn't about bringing in the holiness of Shabbos. It was about being Yotzei, right? So, it was a different thing.
Follow the rules.
Right. It was about following the rules, but it wasn't about, I didn't yet understand fully enough about how to make Shabbos, you know, how to create a Shabbistic environment.
So, the conversation adds Kodesh to the Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to keep it.
Absolutely. Extremely.
Keep it. I mean, you can, if you infuse it with more Torah than, you know, than normal. You're
so that's
well.
Good.
That's
good.
Doing well, but it's hard to keep people from.
Totally.
Veering
right.
into.
It's extremely difficult.
Especially with kids. With little kids, it's real hard.
Even if they are learning Torah,
yeah.
They still want to talk.
Well, so it totally depends on the.
You know what I mean?
It totally depends on the. It absolutely depends on the group of people.
Right.
You know, so one person can't do it by themselves. It does require a society.
Right.
So it does.
So. Job of the woman to do.
Well, it was because I was just thinking we were thinking on Thursday night because we never really got back to Sarah's question, you know, which was she started Sarah Gilbert, who's a conservative rabbi. You know, she started by saying, "Okay, now everybody decide who your guest is going to be. Somebody from the Tanakh. Who is your guest going to be tonight? You know, think about
it
while
choose.
We serve this.
If you could choose,
if you could choose, who's from the Tanakh? Who's going to be your guest?" And we never exactly got back to that conversation. Uh-huh. I mean, we set it up.
Right, so that was her effort to
who would you choose and why?
To lay the foundation for a Torah-based conversation.
Yeah. And we said, okay, we'll serve soup, then we'll get back to that, and we didn't.
Right, okay. Right, and that happens a lot. Right, so people do make efforts, but it does require the collective effort, and the collective effort, and re-effort, and re-effort, and re-effort, so that people really get that the day is different. Mm-hmm. And that you discuss differently. And the jokes like, you know, I sold it by Kiddush. Everybody knows that joke, right? So, you know, so you say there's this phrase, nisht Shabbos gered, not to speak on Shabbos in Yiddish. You say that when you're saying something you shouldn't say on Shabbos.
Oh, so
it's like saying,
say it.
No offense, but, right? So just like that, then as soon as you say no offense, but your shoes are ugly, right? Then you're allowed to say the offensive thing, right? So when you say nisht Shabbos gered, not to speak on Shabbos, but... Then you can say the thing you're not allowed to say on Shabbos. You can't, but that's how people do it, right? So there's the story of the guy, you know, by Friday night, he goes over to his friend and he says, Nish Shabbos Gered, but I'm selling my car. So the other guy says, Nish Shabbos Gered, but how much do you want? Nish Shabbos Gered, but I want $6,000. He says, Nish Shabbos Gered, I'll think about it. So in the morning, he goes to him, all right, Shabbos afternoon, he goes, maybe that's by Shacharis. By Shabbos afternoon, he goes to him and says, Nish Shabbos Gered, but I'll take it. And he says, Nish Shabbos Gered, but I sold it by Kiddush. Right? So that there is such a joke shows that it is a universal thing, even among Yiddish-speaking Jews, to say things on Shabbos that you shouldn't be saying, right? I mean, like, that's what that joke means, right?
I think it's very rare that you find a group
that really doesn't.
Really,
I think you're right. I think you're right. It's especially today. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't aim for that, but I do want to point that out for those people in the room who are feeling like they have to be the soldier and make their table perfect. No.
Because my fellow is...
Though, yes. So you want to be the encourager. You want to be the encourager. You want to be the planter. You want to be the fertilizer. You want to be the cuddler and coddler, but not the soldier. Because nobody wants to hear from the soldier. The soldier's annoying and gets cut out of people's lives. So if you want to accomplish that, it has to be through softness, through engaging conversation, through fun things to talk about. So it might be that in certain circles, talking about Zionism is closer than talking about politics, or at least talking about Israeli politics. The settlement freeze and not, like, that's different than talking about American politics, right? So that you have to think, what is your thing that brings you closer into the Shabbos zone? Why are you talking about Israeli politics? Because you care about Jews. Why do you care about Jews? Because you are one. Why do you care about Jews? Because Hashem made us, we're the chosen people, and we have a family thing, right? So if you can bring that out in the conversation, we're a family, that's why we care, right? So that's Shabbos. So it's not the best. It's not 100%. That's not where we want to be. But that's fabulous compared to where we could be. It's way better than talking about Avatar, right? Mm-hmm. So, right. So the precept of resting from work on the eighth day of Sukkot is really about its own separate holiday. So even though it says the eighth day of Sukkot, it's about its own separate holiday, and that holiday is called Atzeret. Atzeret comes from the same root, or Hirsch is so good at this, all the same root stuff, but comes from the same root as Asur. What does Asur mean?
Help.
Asur.
Oh, prohibited.
Prohibited. But it actually doesn't mean prohibited. It means locked up, which is prohibited. Right?
Atzeret is an assembly.
Atzeret is held back. So it's not an assembly. It means held back. La'atzor is to stop.
Right?
La'aser is to la'aser, not la'atzor. So, because the roots are similar. La'aser is to imprison. Matir asurim. Here you have mutter and usser in the same bracha. Right? Hashem releases the imprisoned. Matir asurim. which could be talking about even your body. As you wake up, your muscles are imprisoned. When you're sleeping, you can't move, right? Sometimes you have dreams of trying to run and you can't. You're like, slow motion. Matirasarim could just be everything can move now, right? Or it could be, God, please release Gilad Shalit and release Jonathan Pollard, Matir Asurim, that too. So, but it means, so Mutar is permitted, Asur is forbidden, so it could be permit the forbidden, right? Or it could be release the bound, but Asur means bound, Atzer means held back. So what is this held back in Shemini Atzeret?
Holding the Jews bound
For what?
For a private session with Hashem.
Right. So think about when you go to a wedding, right? You go to a wedding of, you know, somebody who you're not that close to, but obviously you're close enough to get invited. You go, you sing, you dance, you eat, you leave, right? But when it's your close friend, you're there at the very end. As the waiters are breaking down the tables, you and your friends are sitting around that last table, finishing off a bottle of wine and chatting about the wedding, who came. That's Shemini Atzeret, the very closest group is still there, held back because of the closeness and because it's hard to leave such an intense experience. So Sukkot is the holiday of joy. We went through the difficult times. We got judged. We worked on ourselves. We got forgiveness. And now it's time to celebrate in that great big hug of Hashem in the sukkah. We're celebrating. We're enjoying our bounty, our harvest, our physical life. It's interesting, Rabbi Kahan taught me that there's two ways to see Mashiv HaRuach or Marid HaGeshem, which we start saying at the end, right? Mm-hmm. So one way is to say Mashiv HaRuach Marid HaGeshem. Blow the winds blow away, bring down the rain, right? But Ruach is also spiritual and Geshem is physical. Enough with the spiritual, time for the physical is one way to say it. Mashiv HaRuach, Ruach, get out of the way. It's time to be physical now.
Get the rain.
Yeah, it's time to move into the physical part. And we are moving into the physical part. It's the rest of the year, right? It's the winter. It's the time when we're very physical. We're worried about our survival more. We have hunkered down a little bit. And it's a period of darkness. There are no holidays. From Shemini Atzeret until Pesach, there are no holidays that are Torah ordained. There's just Hanukkah and Purim. Our efforts to bring light into the darkness, which we did, and we got a holiday established for it. But God's efforts are all in the light times of the year. Our efforts are in the dark times of the year. So, and Shemini Atzeret is the last holiday of all the holidays. Right? It's not just the last day of Sukkot. It's the last day of Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot. So it's the final day of them all when we're about to depart for the dark winter, where God says, it was so nice having you. Mm-hmm. Please stay another day. Just one more day, we could be close together. So that is the classic explanation, that God doesn't want to let go of us. But it's also for us, it's a gathering up day. It is a hold back. Hold back before we venture into the winter. Let's gather up the Kedusha that we got here so that it won't dissipate into our mundane lives. So we won't just go and forget about the whole thing. We need a day to gather it in and make it ours, make it part of the fabric of our lives so that we move forward with that Kedusha instead of just with the open gateway of it all dissipating. So that's what Shemini Atzeret is about. And so we rest from that day in order to, the same it says in the Sefer Chinuch, the same as it says on other days. So, but it's two sides of one coin. Resting is the positive. And not doing work is the negative. You don't do the work so that you can create the space for the gathering up energy, right? That you need the time to actually be able to focus on it. If you were doing everything, if you were going to garden on that day, so when are you going to spend time thinking about the gathering, right? So you want to create the space by refraining from work. And then specifically the positive commandment to rest on is all. It's not just rest on. It means make the meals, make kiddush, dress nicely, have the house in order, guide your conversation, choose your reading material carefully so that you are positively investing in that day. So that's what's going on for the eighth day. Positive investment to the refrain from work and creating the space where we gather up, where we lock up. And even at the end of the holiday, we call it, does anybody know what we call that last? You know what we call the last. It's not even an official meal. Something that we do at the very end of the holiday.
Sitting.
Ni'ila Sahag. Yeah, Ni'ila Sahag. Ni'ila, the locking up of the holiday, right? The locking it in. We don't want to just leave it open for all the energy to seep out. Ni'ila Sahag. And usually that's kind of like a Sudash Lishi kind of a thing. Just a little thing, a couple of Zemiros. But we mark it with physical. A little singing, a little eating. We're into the eating, but we've already eaten quite a bit. So a little singing, a little eating locks it down.
So this is Thursday night?
Batten down the hatches. That will be actually Friday. Because we do the Ni'ila Sahag at the end. So for the purposes of this, Simchas Torah
is before Shabbos?
Yes, before Shabbos. Ni'ila Sahag would be before Shabbos. Simchas Torah is the second day of Shemini Atzeret, really.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. Confusing.
That is really confusing.
That really confuses.
It's very confusing.
Or the ninth day of Sukkot.
No.
The ninth day of Sukkot.
Pardon?
Simchas Torah is
the second day of Shemini Atzeret. In Israel, Shemini Atzeret and Simchas Torah are one day. Yeah, it's one day. So you're celebrating both. But you never say, or remember us on this day, Chag HaSimchas HaTorah HaZeh. It's remember us on this day, Chag HaShemini HaAtzeret HaZeh. Right? Shemini Atzeret is the name of the holiday, even for Simchas Torah. So it's 2 days of Shemini Atzeret. But we just divide the celebration into the two. Right. But we have that convenient division available to us, Chutz La'aretz Jews. Whereas in Israel, they have to do everything all at once.
So again, Ni'ila Sahag is Friday?
Would be Friday before Shabbos.
Afternoon.
It's not lunch, it's afternoon.
So you're going to have a lunch?
You have lunch.
Well, it's snack.
And then snack. You don't want to spoil your appetite for Shabbos.
I was going to say it's not a joke.
It's not a whole meal. It's not like Sudash Lishi.
It's
a snack. You just sit down and you do, like for instance, what I do, Pesach, the end for my personal, and this is not a minhag that I'm aware of, but my personal Ni'ila Sahag that I do Pesach, the last day of Pesach, is I sing Chag Gadiah. Because that's the end of a Seder, right? So I just want, that's the end of Pesach. Like, just to close it. Like, I shouldn't just... Like, it shouldn't just end and now we start putting everything away.
Right.
I want to, end, like, have a thing that's the end of Pesach, Well, we have Havdalah. Havdalah creates a transition. But I want something before that, because there is no Sudash Lishi. There are no special Zemiros for the end. Yeah, but it's not a mitzvah meal. It's not like Sudash Lishi where you have to. You can make a Ni'ila Sahag.
Yeah, but you make it as part of
Shabbos. You can make it, yeah. Well, only if it's on Shabbos. No, only if it's on Shabbos. No. Only if Sudash Lishit is only on Shabbos. So let's say your last day of Pesach is Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever, middle of the week. In this case, this week it's Friday. So you do something to finish off the Chag before Shabbos comes in, because Shabbos, really Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis. There's just no time.
So they'll be out late. I get always confused about this. They'll be out late dancing
Thursday night.
And so it'll be a late lunch anyway.
I know. Friday, it's a torturously difficult late lunch. You never know when you're serving.
What time do you think?
This is what you do. You make challah rolls, not challahs,
okay.
And a thick soup. And that's it. When they come, they make their own kiddush, their own hamotzi, and they eat. It's very hard to make a sit-down. I don't know about here, but on the west side, it's very hard to make a sit-down meal where everybody sits at the same time because different people are dancing in different places and different people come at different times. And the yeshiva makes a break in the middle of the hakafas and they do lunch and then they do the rest of the hakafas or something like that. And the shul serves a little kiddush in the middle and it's like, I don't know when.
Okay, so you do rolls.
I just make.
And everybody does it when they want to.
Yeah, so if three or four people are together, great. If they're not, they're not. But at least everybody can be yotzei the mitzvah of having a suda, having their lacha mishnah, two rolls, and I just have like a thick soup or something like that. So I don't have to worry about serving, like it's just hot the whole day, right? You don't have to worry about a brisket and a salad, and anyway, boys don't want that stuff, right? So, I asked my son what he wants for Shabbos. He said roast. I said, what do you want for a side dish? He said ribs. What do you want? What do you want for a salad? He said,
turkey.
Steak salad. I said, what do you want for a vegetable? He said, I don't understand the question.
He's
a smart aleck.
So are we supposed to have round collars? Shemini
Atzeret? Yeah, we do actually. Through when we do the honey thing and the round challahs through the end of that.
What about Shabbos?
And then Shabbos, you could start with the braided challahs if you wanted to, but if you have leftover rounds, it's not like they don't count.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
if two people, if one person uses two rolls, and they're only going to eat one.
The second one you can use for somebody else. Yes.
For another.
Yes, yes, you
second
can.
Loaf.
Yep. Yes, you can.
We have a second holiday. Keep in the freezer. There.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, that's okay. You could do
yes,
that.
Yes, you can. No, yeah, you can. Yes, you totally can do that.
I read somewhere that if you have brought a challah to the table already one time and said
no, 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 that's not true.
You can't use it again.
No, that's not true.
Are you kidding me?
That is not true.
Second holiday we have is like. Great idea.
I know people use a matzah for like the second. Yeah. Yeah.
We have
or you could have your frozen challah.
When you have enough people,
right, then you eat it. Right.
But when there's not so many people, we don't eat two.
So you either make baby challahs or you take the one challah.
We don't
eat
a lot of bread.
Right.
We don't eat a lot of bread at our house.
Right. Okay, let's just because it's almost, we're almost done here, let's just go to Chol HaMoed for a minute. Because in this prohibition, in 323, which is kind of long, it also talks about the prohibition of the whole Sukkot. So the truth is, all of Sukkot and all of Pesach are Yontif. All 7 days, not the first 2 days and the last 2 days only, and you're off in the middle. The entire thing is Yontif.
So that's
the whole thing.
Halal.
You do Hallel, Musaf. You do a Musaf, right. And you refrain from work.
For the whole time.
The whole time. So we do write to remember things or to process things. Some people wouldn't. We don't write, if possible, to do other things. I wasn't sure if I should bring this in or not, the registration forms. And I was thinking, shouldn't I? I don't know. We write, we don't write. You know, but...
We are writing.
Right.
Well, but
so,
she said to remember things. She said you can write.
So you could write to... So it's not like Shabbos,
studying.
Where it's 100% usher to write, no matter what. Even if you're going to forget that important thing, you can't write it down on Shabbos. Too bad. But you should think twice before you write on Chol HaMoed. And not just think twice before you write on Chol HaMoed, and that's for writing. Writing is pretty stringent, actually. But everything else, you're not really supposed to do any kind of malacha that you can't do on Shabbos. You're not supposed to do Chol HaMoed unless it's necessary for your functioning. So you can drive to a class. You can. And you can't. But you, should you water your lawn? Well, if you have a vegetable garden, if it says that in the Sefer Chinuch, and it's going to die because you didn't water it for the 7 days.
We haven't had any rain.
Right. Then you are permitted to water it. If you have a grape harvest and they will spoil on the vine because you didn't harvest them, then you can harvest them. But you cannot save any work. You can't say, well, I have the 7 days off, so I'm just going to wait. You know, that's one reason why we have to cut our nails. We don't cut our nails, Chol HaMoed, or do our hair, Chol HaMoed, or our sheitels. But if we did it before, if we cut our nails before and our nails got too long, or if we did our sheitel before and now we don't like how it looks, so we could redo it. But you're not supposed to say, I don't have time now, it's Erev Yom Tov. I'll do it Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do that.
So if you just say, my sheitel looks terrible and I need to do something
about it. I think you could, yeah. But we're not supposed to cut hair or whatever. You're supposed to do it before. You're supposed to make yourself presentable before Yom Tov. So, and other malachas too. You're not supposed to do other things. So, like, for instance, I have this necklace I want to redo, right? So I asked Shaila about beading on Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Kahan's question was, can a child do it? Right? If a child can do it, it's not a specific work that takes a skill, then yes. So, but now
the
I've...
Old of a child.
Now I've learned how to do it in a more complicated way. I tie knots in it. A child can't do that. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just stringing beads and putting a clasp on, I can do that. But I want to retie the knots, and this I never retied. This is still on a wire, and I want to tie knots on this. I can't do that today. It is a specific work, you know, of skill. And the reason why I want to redo it is because my skill has improved, and I don't like the way it looks according to my old skill. Mm-hmm. I want to apply the new skill to it. I can't do that, Chol HaMoed. Mm-hmm. You know, but if I just want to string beads on a whatever, I could do that.
So
a
really
kid can do that.
So we really shouldn't go to work.
Right. If you cannot go to work, you shouldn't. That is correct, if it's possible.
One more day off to my boss.
I know. The first year my husband worked at his law firm, it was an all-Jewish law firm. He took off. He's like, okay, I need 2 days for Rosh Hashanah. No problem, we understand Rosh Hashanah. I need a day for Yom Kippur. No problem, we understand Yom Kippur. I need 2 days for the beginning of Sukkot. Sukkot? Okay. And I need 2 days for the end of Sukkot. Really? So then they said, do you need to take off all 8 days of Hanukkah too?
Yes. Now that you mentioned it.
He said that was one of my fatal mistakes, and I said no. So, right.
Well, it gives you a lot of holidays. I mean, if you did all of them, you don't get any other vacation.
Right. That is true.
I mean, if
true.
You really do all of the things
it does.
And you have
it does.
That kind of a job, you really don't get any.
That's true. You do have to use your personal days for all the Jewish days. It does eat up that time. But if it's possible, and you won't lose. Like, let's say you're in the middle of a court case, so you have to work Columbine. That's right. Just not. So then, if you have to, you have to. But if you don't have to, you're really not supposed to. So, and laundry, there is no laundry on Cholmoid unless.
Although, you looked it up, you said you could. You looked it up in the Shemirah Shabbos.
Uh huh.
You can iron.
You can iron, yeah, but not some. Only something you're going to wear for Yontif. Only for something you need for Yontif. You're supposed to. No laundry on Cholmoid. The only laundry you can do is for children. And something that you can't afford to buy that you need. Or I, for instance, I'll just and ask a Shaila on this, but I'm pretty sure, according to what I know, it's okay. So better you should buy underwear at Walmart than wash it, because how much does that cost? $5. And but let's say I have kitchen towels. I have 30 kitchen towels. I really don't need 10 more. I really don't. But I do need 10 clean ones for the last days, right? So I could wash kitchen towels. Only, but only the kitchen towels or tablecloths if you don't have and it's schmutzig, right? But only that. You can't throw in a bath towel with that.
Right, just to
you. You have to do a small load. You can't throw in anything else with that. Only what you actually have to have that there is no point in buying. Either you can't afford to buy it or it would just be ridiculous to own 50 kitchen towels or whatever it is that, you know, you go through the whole time. Right. So, so it's time for you to go, I hear. So, you could go, no problem. I just wanted to point at the bottom, just in case you're not sure how to greet people these days. So the Hebrew greeting is when you see somebody during Chol HaMoed is to say Moedim LaSimcha. And the response to that, I have it right here for you, the bottom of the page. The response is Chagim Uzmanim LaSason. If you can't remember all that, you can just say
it first.
Right? Say it first. Right. If you can't remember that, you can just say a Guten Moed or Good Moed or Gut Moed. Right, that's the Yiddish one. So, but there is a greeting for this time. It's not Chag Sameach, that's a good Moed, or Moedim L'Simcha. So, Moedim L'Simcha to everybody.
Huh? I hate to see the end of the holiday.
Right, that's why we're Shmini Atzeret, to gather it all up together. Yeah.
Yeah, what is that Yiddish saying?
Nisht Shabbos Gered. 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 To say. To say.